Welcome back to our continuing coverage of the trial of Adam Montgomery. We're on day number two. Adam, the father of missing Harmony Montgomery, standing trial on charges unrelated to his daughter's presumed death. That trial comes up in fall. This one is a weapons trial. Let's go back to the courtroom.
So you're here today. That's because you understand that you're under subpoena and you have an obligation to be here. And that is important. I think you know that failure to appear can result in a warrant being issued, and so you are here. I understand your concerns. Whether you have a privilege to assert is another question. You can't just assert in order to choose not to say anything. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to appoint you a lawyer. Okay, so that you'll be able to consult with counsel. I'm going to have you come back on Monday. Why don't we have you come back at 12:30? So I do need to have a current... We're going to need some current contact information for Mr. Bernatchez. Okay. So this either the state victim witness advocate or somebody will work with the court to get some contact information for a lawyer. As soon as you get that information, you should make every effort to contact that lawyer so that you can speak to them in advance of Monday's hearing. We'll have you come back Monday at 12:15. I don't know exactly when the testimony will break. It may be ongoing, and you may need to be here for a little while. Once you contact your lawyer may want you to get here earlier so you can consult with the lawyer. But then on a lunch break with the jury, we'll have some further conversation about what has to happen with regard to your testimony. Okay?
We do have Mr. Bernatchez's phone number. If we could just confirm what his address is.
315 Cedar Street.
Okay. And Mr. Bernatchez, do you have a lawyer you've been working with for any of your own?
Jay Brisa.
What?
John J. Brisa.
Attorney Brisa? Okay. I don't know if that would be who would be appointed to you, but I can let them know downstairs that that's somebody that you've worked with. You can also call Attorney Brisa if you wish to do so to let him know. And we will, you know, we'll get you counsel, and I'll see you again on Monday. Okay? All right. Very good. All right. So what do we have with regard to the next witness?
At this point, it'd probably be wise for us to go ahead and discuss that matter regarding Mr. Zimmerman.
Okay.
Because ideally, he would be the next witness after this, and it just kind of makes sense to go right from Ms. Hilbert as a witness directly to Mr. Zimmerman.
Very good. So let me do this. You shared with the court earlier the response to the question regarding the nexus of his statements and the 77 Guilford Street address. I presume that what you were reading from was provided to the defense.
Yes, Your Honor. I received it by email last night. Defense counsel received it by email last night. I believe Trent Knowles had received it just prior to the two of us.
Okay. So rather than have you read that again, I don't think that's necessary. Mr. Montgomery wasn't in the room at the time, but you've shared that with him, Attorney Smith?
Yes.
Okay. So maybe it makes sense for me just to hear your response rather than have them go over what's in there.
And rather than go over everything that we said before,
yes,
about the different conversations, I do want to make it abundantly clear that Josh's first statement, first of all, that Josh and Tara had several conversations with Adam Montgomery, but that Josh said he didn't really start communicating with Adam Montgomery until 6 months after Adam Montgomery had moved into Union Avenue, and then the about a year later, which I said was not clear if it was a year after moving into Union or a year after they started talking, that Adam was getting paranoid and talking about the ATF.
So I'm sorry, was it a year after he moved in or a year after the six-month communication?
I cannot tell.
Oh, you don't know. Okay.
The report that was provided to us that these were.
Okay.
And that that was the circumstance for Adam talking specifically about an AK-47 firearm. Josh said he never saw any firearms and that Adam never tried to sell him firearms. So that was essentially when he said that Adam, and essentially what they're trying to get from Mr. Zimmerman is that Adam bragged about selling firearms. And then it was specifically to the AK-47. So then the question was, when Tara Hebert said that Adam had talked about an AR-15 being the sickest gun he ever had, was that conversation that Tara was talking about the same as the conversation with Josh? And it was A, and B, did Josh actually hear that? So in Tara Hebert's interview, she said that
is it Hebert or Hilbert?
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Said that on several occasions between February 2020 and summer of 2020, Adam bragged about selling guns at his house. So first of all, that's a time period before Josh had started talking to Adam. I think I said that Adam moved into Union in March, and Adam said it was really, Josh said it was really about 6 months before he started really talking with Adam, and again, that year problem, but even at the shortest part, a year later is when Adam was talking about the guns. So their time period is different. She did not say that it was when he was at 77 Guilford. She said that she believed that to be after seeing a press release. And Josh's specific reference to that on this newest interview is that his understanding was it was something Adam had done in his past while when living on Guilford Street. He's unsure if Adam sold guns while living on 644 Union Street. His understanding about that is not the same as Adam said that while living at 77 Guilford Street, da-da. So I still do not think that they've made the connection to the conversation that Josh purportedly had with Mr. Montgomery starting perhaps earliest a year after moving into Union Street while he was paranoid about the FBI. And let's see, because it sounds like the paranoia about the FBI was what led to him, and that was something that was going on at Union Street, that had, although it may have had something to do with the past, had anything to do with 77 Guilford Street, the particular conversation that Josh is referencing. And was it read in the record this morning?
It was. I believe it was. This morning, the statement regarding Josh Zimmerman's statement. I think we were on record when we were doing that. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Just making sure.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I would like to see a copy, actually, if you wouldn't mind. Thank you.
Mike, also Attorney Smith has referred to the two Zwicker letters that were provided for both of these individuals from the witness room. I have copies of those as well if you'd like.
Okay, one moment, please. So I just want to better understand something. According to this, Attorney Smith, Zimmerman stated the conversation he and Tara had with Adam happened a few months into Adam and Kayla living on Union Street. So I'm not sure. Give me 1 second. So I'm trying to better understand why you think it was a year after he moved into Union Street.
These are, what you're reading is like the third follow-up.
Yes.
Mr. Zimmerman,
so where does it
come? Original statement was, that's what I was referring to.
Okay.
He originally talked about the statement at, sorry.
That's okay, I'm just gonna take a look. Yeah, when he, his original statement.
What page are you providing?
Sorry,
that was just me holding out my hand. So. So it's 507? Right? That's what I'm looking at, right?
Good. 509.
Oh,
that's 507 is a different sort of marking.
Okay, that's all right.
I'll be looking at the second paragraph, second line, 6 months.
And then after that, a year before they started talking.
Okay, so I think, you know, as I said yesterday, that I do think to the extent that there is a connection with the Guilford Street address and or the conversation that Tara Hilbert also had with the defendant, and the state can lay a foundation for that, which I think they have here, obviously subject to cross-examination of any prior inconsistent statements, that it is admissible. However, there's a lot of other information here that I don't think is necessarily admissible. So, you know, the original...
There are many other things within the report talking about their interactions with individuals that they'd see and other conversations. I would agree with you, that's not something the state's seeking to elicit at all.
Okay. So, but I want to be clear about that, that what we're avoiding here is this, you know, all of this propensity evidence that, you know, if the state is looking to just get into this notion that he was and repeatedly engaged in, you know, lots of firearm sales and the AK-47, and if there's an issue with the confusion that you want to ask him about an assault rifle, I think that that's permissible, even though he called it something different, and certainly appropriate for cross-examination or for direct examination. But I am cautioning the state. A, you need to lay the foundation that's set forth in these documents before you ask him about the content of the conversation. And to the extent you think that the state hasn't laid a foundation consistent with my rulings here, Attorney Smith, that will be subject to contemporaneous objection. But if they do lay the foundation as we've discussed, then I do think it is admissible, despite the fact that there may be some inconsistencies here. It sounds that he's connecting it to the Guilford Street address. He's connecting it to the conversations that were also had with Tara Hilbert. And there are some other specifics here, but absent, if they can't do that when he gets on the stand, I'll hear an objection, okay?
I would like to offer to you or I understand a ruling, but to put on the record that I will not be crossing Mr. Zimmerman about the distinction between, about the FBI, about other statements, the most that I can, because obviously it raises that specter anyway. My position is it has taken them three chances at the apple to get to the information that they want to get. Two of those opportunities were after we filed the motion so that they knew my objection to what they were saying. On that second one, they still didn't get the information that they wanted. And then the third one was just recently after talking to you and you making very clear what they wanted. And quite frankly, I think the connection that they made is still very iffy. And I would say that this statement is so unreliable that the prejudice in admitting it, the prejudice between my inability to cross because to cross, I have to go into territory that should not be a part of this trial. And I know that I'm making that choice, but I am making that choice because the prejudice of this to make that, the fact that that connection does not exist, the prejudice outweighs any probative value to this, especially since Ms. Hebert will be saying something along those lines as well. And that my inability to cross without opening up inadmissible evidence, I think the prejudice outweighs any probative value and that it should not be brought in. I would also put on the record, and you said the other stuff that's there would include the FBI, the paranoia, all of that other character reference to something that is not involved in 77 Guilford Street.
Okay, so I think you raise an important point, which is how narrowly we're going to view these other things. Because I do think that at some point you do veer into an area that is too prejudicial. So this notion that, you know, he was afraid of the ATF, that they were after him because he was selling guns, this sort of broader picture that I'm sure the state, you know, would like to paint, I think that's too broad a picture. I mean, that he had a conversation with him about having sold guns at 77 Guilford Street, I think is admissible. But I think going beyond that, going beyond that is going to veer into territory for which there isn't necessarily clear proof, and it just may be too prejudicial, not sufficiently probative of these offenses. So,
and Your Honor, I think the state certainly understands what your feelings are with regards to that on this particular matter of this case. I can't say necessarily that the state agrees with regards to the paranoia aspect of what the defendant has said. At that point, that could be used as an easy defense by the defendant for any of the particular gun crimes, or have to say that there has to be clear proof between one of his multiple gun crimes that he is accused of to go be correlated to his paranoia. I think it's a reasonable inference to say that this particular charge that this jury is asking to consider, given the other statements about an AR-15 and a rifle here at Guilford Street, provides that nexus to be able to get into it. But I understand the court's ruling on that. One of the things I want to make also very clear for the record, and if Your Honor would like a copy, again, I do have a copy of those two smirking letters. I feel it's a mischaracterization along the road to state that everything that's coming in with regards to Mr. Zimmerman only is coming in this very last interview. The vast majority of what he has said, even back to the last week or before, was that the defendant had discussed having guns before at his last home and hiding in the walls. That last home would have been 77 Guilford Street. Your Honor asked us to clarify specifically which street, and so we have done that. The implication that was just made, that this is brand new information, that somehow that makes it so prejudicial that there could be no sort of cross-examination, is inaccurate compared to the information that's provided in the timing of that information. So the state certainly understands the restrictions that the court wants us to follow. And with regards to that, I will ask for maybe just 5 or 10 minutes to tailor my questions to be able to follow that along with the guidelines that the court has provided. But to say that no cross-examination is possible on those areas, I just think really mischaracterizes the evidence and the discovery.
So, and if you'd like to mark for identification, just for the record, those prior statements, I think that's fine. The court has reviewed, you know, in coming to my prior ruling, I have what you had previously given me. I'm sorry, Attorney Smith, I took your copies of these so that I could take a look. But I think, so I'm just giving those back to you.
Did you want me to make a copy for the record?
I think, if I'm not mistaken, Attorney Agati is going to mark them for the record, and we can do that after if we want to. But I think it is admissible. The information related to these firearms at the Guilford Street address, his concern about ATF, but I don't, you know, we are not going to be talking about this as if, you know, he about whether or not he's an overall gun dealer of all sorts of other firearms. We're not doing that. Okay. So, narrowly tailored questions, laying the foundation, connecting it to this case.
Agreed.
Okay. And the state said they were putting together a package which included a couple of Zwicker letters. I would object to the May 31st, 2023 Zwicker letter because it's referencing the actual interview, the report of which I think should be introduced, not the Zwicker letter regarding the report.
This is just for identification, not to be used for the jury. It's just for the issue of appeal.
Right, but I think the Zwicker letter represents something slightly different from the actual report. So the Zwicker letter on May 31 is really irrelevant because it's referencing the report.
But I'm not going to preclude the state from marking something for identification.
I'll be happy to take the one from the 31st as well. I was actually intending to do this with a letter from May 28, prior to that.
You said two, so that's what I was wondering.
Well, I also had Ms. Hilbert's letter.
And, all right, I haven't, so, I mean, I think you all have made the arguments with regard to the content of those for the purposes of the court's decision on this issue. And if there's something else you think I need to know from those, you can let me know, but that
I don't believe so.
Okay.
Like I said, just we'll want a couple of minutes to
okay.
do some quick editing.
Right now. Why don't I go off the record so the monitor can take a quick break now, and then once you're ready, we'll launch right into it, okay? Very good. We'll just wait, so you take a break.
Okay. Yeah.
And as soon as we're ready, we'll come back. Yes?
Right. Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. We do have. Let me go make these changes.
Please be seated. Thank you for your patience, ladies and gentlemen. From time to time, things arise that we either don't expect or have other related business that we need to deal with. So I very much appreciate your patience. And when the state is ready, you may call your next witness.
Thank you, Your Honor. The state calls Ms. Tara Hilbert to the stand, please.
Good Remain standing for a brief moment when you get there. Thanks.
Could you please raise your right hand? First thing I'd like you to swear to you. Do you solemnly swear that the testimony will give this jury be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes.
Thank you. Please feel free to have a seat.
There's some water there if you need anything to drink or anything else. If you need a break, just let us know. Okay?
Thank you.
All right. And one thing, as we're going through today, since we're being recorded, could you please state your first and last name and spell both of them as well?
Tara Hilbert, T-A-R-A-H-H-I-L-B-E-R-T.
Okay. And Ms. Hilbert, what town do you live in right now?
Manchester, New Hampshire.
Okay. How long have you been living here in Manchester?
Almost 7 years.
7 years now? Okay. And, excuse me for a minute, I'm sorry. Sorry about this, Ms. Hilbert. I apologize for the delay. So with regards to there in Manchester, are you working right now?
No.
Okay. Is there, where are you living? What's your address?
137 Orange Street, Apartment 2.
Apartment 2. How long have you been on Orange Street at Apartment 2?
7 years.
7 years? All right. For 137 Orange Street, do you own that building or are you renting?
Renting.
Is there anything, besides obviously paying rent, is there anything else that you're doing for your landlord to help pay for the rent?
I clean out the apartments that are being moved out of after they move out, and then I take out the trash barrels at each property that he owns for the trash days.
About, on average of any given week, about how many hours of your week is spent doing those sort of tasks and duties?
It really all depends, because some of the trash areas are like horrible. So I'll spend, I'd say probably 3 hours a week at each, or like all week.
And what are the different addresses that you have to go to do this?
You need the exact number of each?
Just roughly, maybe number of buildings, just so the jury gets.
Oh, okay. There's five, including my building, there's six properties.
Six properties altogether?
Yes.
Okay. And so with that, specifically, I wanted to ask you a little bit about the relationship between the building where you live at 137 Orange Street with another address, a 644 Union Street. How are those two buildings related? Are they close together? Are they not close together? Can you kind of describe that for us so we get an understanding?
My building and that building share the same parking lot in the back of my building and in the back of that building. So my building to that building is probably 25 feet away from each other.
25 feet away?
Yeah, if you're like at the corner of my building to that corner of that building, like the closest corner, it's probably 25 feet.
I'd like to go ahead and show you, State's Exhibit 19 and then 18. I'm gonna have you take a look at these just for a second. And let me show you State's Exhibit 19 first. Do you recognize this area or what's depicted in this photo?
Yes.
Okay, what is this? What is depicted here?
It's where I live.
Okay, where you
right
live.
Right there, and that's 644 Union Street.
All right. In fact, is there any sort of label of that 644 Union Street on this image? Do we see something that says that?
Yes.
Okay. And the other address of where you said you lived? Okay. Is there anything that we can see on that picture that kind of marks or indicates that that is the building, that is 137 Orange?
Maybe that red dot.
A red dot on it?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, let me show you State's Exhibit 18 now. And with regards to this image, can we see your house, 137 Orange Street, from this address?
Yes.
Okay. And can we also see 644 Union Street from this address?
Yes.
You said a moment ago there's a parking lot. Can we see that in this photo?
Yes.
If I were to be able to kind of blow these up and put them on the big screen, would that be, you find that helpful to be able to kind of explain how the two buildings are next to each other?
I think so.
Okay.
turn your attention, if you would, just for a brief moment, please, Ms. Hilbert, to the image on your screen, State's Exhibit 19. That's the same photo I just showed you a moment ago, right?
Yes.
And I wondered if you could go ahead and actually, do you mind stepping down a little bit, if Your Honor, with your permission?
That's fine.
And do be careful of the cords right there. I was wondering if you could just kind of point to where 644 Union Street is here. Okay. So that is, just for a second, you're pointing over here to this building?
Yes.
And with regards to your own address, the 137 Orange Street, where is that?
Right here.
Did I zoom in accurately on that? It's the right building?
Yes.
And which floor is your apartment?
First floor.
First floor. Okay. Wish I could have timed that a little bit better. So separate from this, I'd like to also go to State's Exhibit 18 for a brief second if I can. And you see that's the same image we just looked at a moment ago?
Yes.
Now, from here, on this perspective, just generally point out the parking lot that you share between the two buildings. And typically, where Orange Street, which one is yours again? Which building?
This one.
That one there. And at that particular building, where do you often end up parking your car?
My car is right here.
Oh, just underneath?
Yep.
Okay. And with regards to the Union Street, folks who are living at Union Street, do they have any restrictions on where they can park, or can they park anywhere within the lot?
Anywhere within the lot.
I want to draw your attention over to the right-hand side of this image, and I'll zoom in here. Is that the back of the building you pointed out, 644 Union Street?
Yes.
Okay. Seeing a lot of brown there, could you kind of explain to us what that is?
That is the back porches.
Back porches. Is that a separate entrance from the front, from the front door?
Yes.
Do people sometimes use that as a primary means of entrance, or is it always secondary? What is it?
Most people use the back as their main entrance.
As their main entrance.
Yes.
Okay. And with regards to that, zoom out again so we can see the whole image of State's Exhibit 18. Having lived there for 7 years, is that right?
Yes.
Okay. How often do you find yourself interacting with people who are living at the Union Street address compared to you folks who are living on Orange Street?
A lot, because I'm really friendly, so I try to meet everybody.
Okay, fair enough. Well, thank you very much. Please feel free to go ahead and have a seat.
Thank you.
So now that we understand this kind of general area, I'm going to ask whether or not while you were living on Orange Street, you said you've been living there for about 7 years, correct?
Yes.
All right, so that would include 2019 and 2020, is that right?
Yes.
All
right.
How did you first end up meeting Adam Montgomery and Kayla Montgomery?
Like, talking-wise meeting?
Without going into the specifics of what the conversations were that you had, but I'm just generally wondering where that might be, especially given the maps that we looked at here. Had you met them over at Union Street? Had you met them at your address, in the parking lot? Where?
It was in the back.
In the back section?
Like the back, right in the back of my building.
Okay. Actually, if you want, I'll zoom in here. I'm still seeing State's Exhibit 18. Am I pointing out the back of that building where you're talking about?
Yes.
Okay. And when you met them, where had they, where were they residing?
At 644 Union Street, apartment 2.
Apartment 2. What floor is apartment 2 on?
Second floor.
Second floor. Okay. How often did you talk with them?
At first, it was just very vaguely, and then it got, as the summer approached and the nice weather came, they'd bring their kids out more, and we had kids, so they'd all just play, and we'd just socialize.
What were the ages of your kids?
My daughter was 4 at the time.
Okay. And obviously your daughter was living with you, I take it, right?
Yes.
You said we. So who else lives at your home with you?
My fiancé.
And what's his name?
Josh Zimmerman.
When you met Adam Montgomery and Kayla Montgomery, did you know or did you learn what Adam Montgomery was doing for work at that time?
No.
Okay. Did you ever give him a ride to work sometimes?
Yes.
Okay. And where did you give him a ride to work?
Home Depot.
How many times did you do that?
Maybe 10.
Maybe 10?
Yeah.
At some point, I'd like to ask, or actually, let me ask this. Had you ever been inside of their apartment while they were living there?
No.
Had they ever been inside of your apartment while
yes.
you were living there? And when I say they, I just want to be very clear. I'm talking about Kayla Montgomery and Adam Montgomery.
Yes.
How many times had Adam Montgomery been inside your apartment while they were living there?
I'd say just a couple, probably five, maybe.
What were the reasons why in general? And I guess maybe, did you spend a lot of time socializing with each other, or are these specific reasons why somebody would come over?
We were cooking on the grill, and it was really hot out
okay.
those nights, so we let all the kids go in. We'd all sit in the AC and eat.
Okay. At some point, what, if anything, did Adam Montgomery tell you about owning a rifle?
That he had guns that he was selling, and didn't say that he owned them, just that he had guns at one point in time before living at this address.
And with regards to the rifle, how did he describe this rifle that he owned?
That it was an AR-15.
Did he say anything else about it? Any other details about the gun?
No, nothing about the gun.
And where did he say he had kept that gun?
At an address that he lived at that his grandmother had owned, that was foreclosed on.
And one that his grandmother had owned that was foreclosed on, am I
yes.
getting that right? All right, and what street did he was that on? That
you... I didn't know at the time, but after seeing the address on the news before it was...
Okay, well, I just want to... Questions withdrawn, Your Honor. I'll restate.
I mean, you should not consider the last question or answer.
With regards to the street, specifically, did Adam Montgomery ever tell you what street it was?
Or no.
No. All right. So he did not. And did you say, where did he say he had kept the gun inside this previous address?
Walls and ceilings.
Walls and ceilings. And this is the home you said he told you had been foreclosed on and they had been kicked out of?
Yes.
What, if anything, did he tell you about whether or not he was being investigated for these guns?
He didn't say anything about being investigated.
He didn't say anything about being investigated?
Like, he didn't have police contact. Like, yeah.
I apologize. I should restate the question. I should have been more clear. Did he ever state to you that he believed he was being investigated for these guns?
Yes.
Okay. And what did he say about that?
That the ATF was after him.
What, if any, incidents did you see that... I'm sorry. Let me restate that question. Did you see any incidents involving him that either confirmed or dispelled your belief of whether he thought he was being investigated?
I wouldn't see him for days, him or Kayla. So I figured they were just trying to hide in the house for a while.
Hide in the house for a while?
Yeah, because they literally wouldn't come out of the house.
Did he ever exhibit any other behavior about that same belief that he was being investigated by the ATF for these guns?
I don't know if I should go into detail about...
Okay. Let me withdraw the question then, and I'll restate a different one.
Okay.
What was his behavior like as he went on to live next door?
Very scared, thinking people were after him.
What did you... And if you're saying that that's what he was thinking, I want to know, I guess more specifically, what did you see that made you believe that? What behavior did you see from him that made you believe that?
He was hallucinating.
Hold on just a minute. There's an objection, so we just have to wait a second.
Basis? Yes. Stained.
Thank you, Your Honor. When you stated before that the defendant had been the previous house that he had been living, excuse me, that where Mr. Montgomery, Adam Montgomery had been living, had been foreclosed on. I believe you said it was his mother's house or grandmother's house?
Grandmother's.
Grandmother's house. Is that something that he told you?
Yes.
All right. Thank you. And during the conversation about these guns, did you ever, or was Kayla Montgomery ever present for those conversations?
Yes.
She was?
Yes.
All right. Thank you very much, Ms. Hilbert. I appreciate your time. I don't have any further questions for you, but I believe defense counsel will have a couple.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Ms. Hilbert. I'm Robin Davis. I'm just going to ask you a couple of follow-up questions. You said that you met Kayla and Adam at the Union Street address, and that was in 2020, is that correct?
Yes.
And was that early 2020?
Yes.
Do you know what month?
No. They moved in early 2020, and I'd say it was probably March, April.
March or April, okay. Could have been as far back as February.
No, not that close. Not right when they moved in.
Do you speak to the police in regards to when Adam and Kayla moved in?
Yes.
If I showed you the police report, would that refresh your recollection?
No, I remember it.
Okay. So, you met Adam and Kayla at the 644 Union Street. That was not your building.
Correct.
But you were a property manager there.
Correct.
And in that time, you indicated that you became friendly with Adam and Kayla?
Yes.
But you were more friendly with Kayla, is that right?
Yes.
And I think you said you only on a few occasions had you interacted with Adam.
Yep.
And during that time, you indicated that Adam had bragged about selling guns.
Yes.
And you indicated that that happened on three occasions.
It was two or three, yeah.
Okay. So in the whole time that you had interactions with Adam or Kayla, only three times did you hear this?
Yes.
And when was the last time you saw Adam and Kayla at the Union Street address?
I know Kayla was June 2021. I think Adam was April 2021.
Okay. So over a long period of time.
Yeah.
And during the time he was bragging about guns, you never saw him with any guns?
No.
He never showed you any photos of any guns?
No.
And even at his house, there were no guns?
I don't know. I never went in.
You went to their house one time, you said?
No.
Okay. And again, you spoke with the police, including the ATF and the Manchester police, about being friendly with Adam and Kayla.
Yes.
And you spoke with them in 2022, is that correct?
Kayla in 2022.
No, you spoke with the police.
Oh, yeah.
In regards to your relationship in March of 2022.
Yes.
Okay. So that those conversations were about 2 years after you had met Kayla.
Yes.
And Adam. And you said that Adam had left earlier in the year from the Union Street address.
Yes.
And then Kayla remained there.
Yes.
And you continued to be friends with her even after she left the Union Street address, didn't you?
A little bit, yeah. Not as close as we were, just kept in contact.
But you continued to speak with her?
Yes.
Okay. And you continued to speak with her even when she was arrested and incarcerated?
Yes.
Okay. You continued to have conversations with
yes.
her?
Yes.
Okay. And is that fair to say that you still have conversations with her?
No.
When was the last conversation you've had with Kayla?
Well over a year and a half ago.
Well over a year and a half ago?
Yeah.
Thank you. I have nothing further.
Thanks.
Two quick questions. Ms. Hilbert, you said it before, and you were just talking a while ago about the defendant was bragging about having all these guns.
Yes.
I just wanted to ask again, do you recall any other details about the rifle and the guns that he was bragging about owning?
No.
All right. Thank you very much. No further questions.
Thank you.
I'm going to ask this witness to be excused, please.
Anything further?
I just had a follow up.
Okay, go ahead.
I apologize. Go ahead.
You spoke to the Manchester police in 2022 for the first time about Adam and Kayla, correct?
Yes.
And at that time, you never mentioned anything about an AR-15?
No.
And then they recontacted you in 2023.
What?
Just recently, you spoke with the police again in May.
Yes, yeah.
Of this year?
Yes.
Okay. And that was in preparation for this testimony here today?
Yes.
Okay. And you knew that this trial was about firearms, correct?
Yes.
And it was on that date, May 26th, that you remembered the AR-15?
No.
You didn't tell the state?
Like, I remembered it. I don't know if I should go into detail.
Your Honor, if we could approach you.
Yes.
That wraps up that segment of coverage. There is more to come. Press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. You don't miss any of it. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.